Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on to the final portion of our commentary on Quran chapter 14, which is titled The Book of Abraham, as we will be covering the prayer of Abraham, which was made up by Muhammad and Allah in the Quran. Now, this prayer is located in Quran chapter 14 between verses 35 and 41. And here are the words of Abraham. As Allah stated, and when Abraham said, "My Lord, make this country secure and protect me and my children, lest we serve the idols." Notice here, the prayer of Abraham was lifted up to Allah in the land of Mecca as he pointed to this land in his prayer. And that itself is a huge error neither Allah, Jibreel, or Muhammad have any evidence for. Because when we examine the biblical account, we'll see that Abraham never walked to Mecca, as we're going to see in the fabricated interpretation of Muslim scholars to Quran chapter 14 verse 37. But according to Muslim scholars, here is Abraham in Mecca praying to Allah for himself and for his children. Notice he did not say "my child," but "my children," which means it's actually more than Ishmael, as Muslims claim is the son of Abraham who was at this time in Mecca. When in reality, we know from the Bible, neither Abraham nor Ishmael ever set a foot in Mecca. How do I know that? Let me give you the evidence. In the book of Genesis chapter 25, in verse 8, we know that Abraham died. And guess who buried him? In verse 9, Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah. That is the place which Abraham bought from the sons of Heth to bury his wife Sarah. Now, beginning from verse 12 of Genesis 25, we learn about Ishmael, who was born from Hagar the Egyptian, and all his sons which he begotten, 12 sons as God promised Hagar. And then we read in verse 18, listen carefully, and they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. How many years did Ishmael live? 137 years, as we read in Genesis 25 and verse 17. So how in the world are you going to bring Ishmael and Isaac and whomever else, because he said his sons, to the land of Mecca when Abraham lifted that invented prayer to Allah, when in reality Ishmael never lived a day there, and even when he died, he was buried and gathered with his people, that is between Egypt and Assyria. And what was the prayer all about? It's about Allah to protect Abraham and his children from serving the idols. Well, let me share with you what Allah said in the Quran about Abraham worshiping idols. For in Quran chapter 6, beginning from verse 76, we read, "So when the night covered him," that is Abraham, "he saw a planet. He said, 'This is my Lord.' So when it set, he said, 'I do not love the setting one,'" which means Abraham changed his mind. He's not going to worship that Lord, whatever planet it was. But then we continue in verse 77, we read, "So when he," that is Abraham, "saw the moon rising, he said, 'This is my Lord.' So when it set, he said, 'If my Lord does not guide me, I will surely be of the erring people.'" Which means, here we see Abraham worshiped the moon, and because the moon disappeared in the morning, now he is a little bit confused. Let's move on to verse 78. "So when he saw the sun rising, he said, 'This is my Lord. This is bigger. So when it set, meaning it get dark at night, he, that is Abraham, said, O my people, surely I am innocent of what you partner. Surely I turn my face to him who has created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, and I am not of the polytheist. What was Abraham doing in the previous three verses? He worshipped some planet, he worshipped the moon, and he worshipped the sun. And after that, he figured out, oh, well, these are not real gods. Then he became a believer in Allah. But was he himself a worshipper of such idols? Yes, indeed, according to the word of Allah in the Quran. Well, let's go back to Abraham's prayer in Quran chapter 14 and verse 36. For there we read, My Lord, they have surely led astray many of the people. So whoever follows me, so surely he is from me. And whoever disobeys me, so surely you are forgiven, merciful. What an amazing prayer. Because now we learn that these idols which people worship have led people astray. I do not know that any rock or any statue or any picture or any thought out there can lead somebody astray. I think the only one who leads people astray is the devil himself. But people cannot be led astray by any idol, no matter how big or small that idol, no matter how long people worship it. The idol never leads people to worship them, and the idol will never lead any people astray. It is up to the people to be deceived by Satan or not to worship anything else beside God. Let's move on to verse 37. For there we read, our Lord, I thought Abraham said, my Lord, as we read in verse 35. And I thought he said, my Lord, as we read in verse 36. So why now Abraham is saying, our Lord? Oh, it's just a small error. Don't make a big deal about it, Usama. Maybe he have some other people sitting inside his mouth, brain with him. No, it does not work that way. Something went wrong. It is not Rabbi, but it is Rabbana. Who else was there praying with Abraham? If this is the Abrahamic prayer, it's a question for Muslims to think about. Anyway, let's continue. Our Lord, surely I have caused some of my offspring. Some of my offspring? How many are they? I thought it was a one, and his name is Ishmael. And we proved already from Genesis chapter 25 that Ishmael never set a foot in Mecca. But somehow, now Ishmael become some of his offspring. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Some of my offspring to dwell in a valley which has no plants, near to your forbidden house. Well, I saw the forbidden house was built years later by Abraham and his son Ishmael. But somehow, now we know that Abraham left his little baby boy Ishmael with his mother Hagar near the forbidden mosque, which was not built yet. A place where there is no people living. A place where there is no vegetables or life. Which, by the way, is true. If you go to Mecca in the days of Muhammad, the city did not exist because there is no water. And if there is no water, there is no vegetables and life. And if there are no vegetables or life, there is no people. Continuing with the prayer of Abraham, who became somehow a bunch of people praying together, he said, Our Lord, so that they may perform the prayer, so make the hearts of the people, therefore, to yearn toward them. What people? Oh, the neighboring people. Like who? We'll find a little bit later from the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. And Abraham continued in his prayer by saying, and provide them from the fruit, perhaps they may be thankful. What fruit? I mean, maybe Allah does not know there are more than dates as fruit. Because with all respect, if you have lived in Saudi Arabia in Muhammad days, you found palm tree which have dates. But beside dates, I do not know of any other fruit ever existed in Saudi Arabia. If you think about fruit, there are plenty of fruit. I promise you, you can find all of them in Egypt, but not in Saudi Arabia. So somehow Allah forgot to answer the prayer of Abraham by giving his offspring some other fruit besides dates. Do you know how many fruits exist in the world? Let's add the number and compare it to the fruit which Allah planted near Mecca for Ishmael and his descendants. Why Allah will do that? It is in the end of Abraham's prayer in verse 37. That is when he said, perhaps they may be thankful. Maybe? Perhaps? Not for real? Yes, indeed. Perhaps they may be thankful.
The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is excited to announce our creation of two new convenient materials to help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled, The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstand Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. But is this true? This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arise from the very words of Allah and the example of Muhammad's life. Please visit thestraightway.org for ordering information. And now, back to our show.
Now I'd like to share with you the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars about that story of Abraham leaving his son Ishmael with his mother Hagar in Mecca. Ibn Abbas told us the first one who walked between the mountain of Safa and the mountain of Marwa was the mother of Ishmael, which is another lie because the mother of Ishmael never set a foot in Mecca. And he's telling us that is because when she ran away from Sarah, Abraham brought her with her son Ishmael where the forbidden house, he meant the Kaaba. And he left them there. She asked him, "Oh, Abraham, there's no food, there's no water. Will you leave us here alone?" He ignored her and continued to walk. "Oh, Abraham, there is no people around here. Are you going to leave us here alone?" He ignored her and kept walking. And then she asked him the question, "Did Allah ask you to do that?" He said, "Yes." So she said, "Then Allah will take care of us." She went to the top of Mount Al-Safa to search for water, anything, and she could not find anything. She went down, she went up to the Mount of Marwa, and she could not see any water. But then she heard somebody, and that somebody was Angel Jibreel, who hit the ground by his feet. And that's when the water came from the well of Zamzam. And that is when she began to drink from that water. Somehow, a little bit later, the birds were flying over that land. And the neighbors of Hagar and Ishmael saw the bird, and they said, "There must be water there." They came and asked permission to live with her and Ishmael, and she said yes. And that's what happened. Later, Hagar died and Ishmael married from these people. The hadith is very clear by Muhammad that when Ishmael was left there with his mother, he was still a breastfeeding child, meaning he is 2 years or younger. And Ishmael was not visited by his father until he was married. And when Abraham went to visit his son Ishmael, he got permission from Sarah. She said, "It's okay, you can go and visit, but don't stay." So he went there, and Ishmael was not in the house. He was hunting. And when Abraham talked with his first wife, he did not like her. She was not a very nice wife. So he told her, "When your husband comes, give him my greetings and tell him to loosen the threshold of his door," which means his father wanted him to divorce his wife. And that is exactly what Ishmael did when he came back, because he figured out that is his father. Imagine with me, it's imagination. You never see your father 30 years later, and somehow you know that was your father. But anyway, he divorced her. And then he married another wife, and Abraham asked permission once again from his beloved wife Sarah about visiting his son Ishmael. And she said, "It's okay, you can go visit with your son as long as you don't stay with him." And he did the same thing, and he went there, and he met his son's new wife, and she was a wonderful lady, and he liked her a lot, and obviously he had to leave. So he told her, when your husband come back, tell him I send him my greetings and ask him to tighten the threshold of the door. And that's when Ishmael figured out, yes, indeed, his father wanted him to keep that wife. A little bit later, Abraham met with Ishmael and they both together built the forbidden mosque, the Kaaba. The same place where Abraham left Ishmael and his mother when he was still breastfeeding from his mother. What a comedy. And they spread the news around everywhere they went for everybody to go and perform the Hajj in such a holy place. What a propaganda given to us by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. Why do we say that? Because if you go with me to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 21, you learn about the wife of Ishmael. Who she is? Where she was from? Here is Genesis 21, 21. He, that is Ishmael, dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. Where is the wilderness of Paran? It's between the land of Canaan and Egypt. And his mother, that is Hagar, took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Well, that makes a lot of sense. After all, Hagar was Egyptian. That's why she picked for her son a wife from Egypt. By the way, a little bit later in the days of Joseph, we know that the Ishmaelites continued to go to Egypt simply to visit their ancestors. That's how they were able to buy Joseph from the Midianite and they sold him in Egypt. Yes, indeed, that's where the Ishmaelites live. The descendants of Ishmael, the 12 sons, were born from the Egyptian wife, not from some Arab wife, as Muslim scholars claim in their interpretation to the propaganda verses of the Quran. And it's very simple. When you read the verses of the Quran, you will never read anything about this made-up story. And that's why we call it a fabrication, not interpretation. You cannot interpret verses that do not exist in the Quran. Let's continue with the rest of Abraham's prayer. In verse 38, once again, Abraham and whomever is there to pray with him stated, "Our Lord, surely you know what we hide and what we reveal, and there is nothing to be hidden from Allah on the earth, neither in the heaven." What does this have to do with anything? I do not understand. How can Abraham be praying to Allah and then he used the word Allah? Why Abraham did not say, "Nothing is to be hidden from you"? No, he said, "From Allah." And what was the purpose of these words of such a prayer? I do not know. Let's continue with verse 39. "The praise be to Allah who has granted me in my old age Ishmael and Isaac." So wait a minute. Ishmael and Isaac were granted to Abraham in his old age. Where did Abraham praise this prayer? Was it in Mecca or now somewhere else? Was he praying for Ishmael from the land of the Canaanites years and years later? You mean he left Ishmael 2 years old or younger with his mother Hagar and he forgot to pray for him for years? You see, Muslim scholars do not know anything about the true biblical history of Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac. Because in reality, my friends, according to the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 25, we know that Abraham circumcised his son Ishmael when he was 13 years old. And that's when God made the promise to him that in the following year, according to Genesis chapter 18, he will have a son from his free wife Sarah. And the whole world will be blessed through that son, not through Ishmael. And then we know that Sarah became pregnant, which means she will have to wait another year. Now Ishmael is 14 years old. And after Sarah weaned Isaac, then we read about the problem between Ishmael and Isaac. That's when Sarah told Abraham that Ishmael will not live in her house and he will not inherit with her son. Abraham did not like it to send his son Ishmael and his mother Hagar away. But God made a promise to him that he will bless him and he will make him a great nation. That's why God blessed Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Ishmaelites who live up north. And Ishmael was sent away with his mother at least when he was 16 or even older than that. And the Arabs, they were also the descendants of Abraham, but not from Hagar, not from Sarah, but from Keturah, the wife which Abraham married after the death of Sarah, as we read that in Genesis chapter 25. You can read the sons and the grandsons of Keturah in Genesis 25, the first four verses. As for where the descendants of Keturah lived, we read that in verse 6, as the scripture said, "But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east countries." That is the Saudi Arabian land, and that's where all the Arabs live. Then Abraham said in his prayer, "Surely my Lord is the hearing of the calling." Then in verse 40, Abraham said, "My Lord," once again, not our Lord, but "my Lord, make me the performer of prayer, and from my offspring, our Lord, and accept my calling." Once again, "me, my Lord, our Lord, my Lord, our Lord," all over the Abrahamic prayer. Nobody edited the Quran for Muhammad to fix all these errors. In verse 41, we read, "Our Lord, forgive me and my parents and to the believers when the reckoning day will arise." And Muslim scholars created a great, great fabrication to interpret that verse, as mentioned in Quran chapter 9 and verse 114, by saying that Abraham has promised his father that he will ask Allah to forgive him for his sin. But when Allah showed him that his father is of the wicked, he freed himself from that promise. And that was the end of the fabricated prayer of Abraham in the Quran. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.